it was brutal. Watching the struggle, I was afraid it'd be too much for you. But you needed to see it. What people can do. The evil within them. What darkness has done to them. You needed to see it to know the cost. Because only you could pay it. You took it all in, the fear, the hatred, the betrayal. Generations of pain and sin, the weight of war, death and shame. Your punishment for their sins. Your punishment for their peace. But death not have the final word. Arise, my son. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Arise, my children. All who are weary. All who are brokenhearted. All who have lost hope. Life awaits you! Arise!
Death could not hold you! The veil torn before you! Death could not hold you! The veil torn before you! Silence the bones of sin and grave!
All we know is doubt and fear. Sing it out.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
How many of you guys know that hope is alive today? Come on!
So let our faith be more than
Easter. The truth of Easter that we get to sing and declare into our lives is beautiful. We're going to continue worshiping and responding to the hope that Easter brings. I want to invite you guys to have a seat as we continue. And as we're singing about the love of God that awakens our souls, that brings dead things back to life, as we continue today, I just want to ask you this question. What if it's true? What if it's true? And if it's true, what in your life needs to be brought back to life? Is it a dream that needs to be reawakened? Do you need to have hope restored? Maybe there's a relationship that you've given up on over time. You see, the world has this way of creeping in to our lives and lying to us and whispering to us and saying that God isn't present, that his love can't actually cover and conquer all. And so Easter is this time where we get to remember the truth and the hope and the profound love and power of God that's expressed in raising his son Jesus from the dead. So what if that's true today? What if that overwhelming love of God can sweep into your heart and your life? What in your life needs to be awakened and brought back to life?
If somebody had told me how good my life was going to get if I stuck around, I wouldn't have believed them. I would go through these bouts of anxiety and depression, even as a kid. It's severe bouts of anxiety and depression, and I never felt like I fit. The concept of going to church to find help didn't occur to me, you know, because that, to me, was not a safe place to go. God, for me, was someone that was disappointed in me all the time, thought that I was the worst and that a whole lot of things needed to be fixed. And I just felt like my problems were too bad and too big. And then I found this magical solution, and that was alcohol. I moved to LA in 2009 and wanted to get an international touring gig. You know, that was my goal. I auditioned and started playing with an artist named Kesha. Played in front of like 200,000 people. I got to see so many places around the world that I think a lot of people dream of traveling to, except that I was too hungover to actually know what city I was in. My drinking really escalated, and it just got worse and worse to the point where I was jeopardizing friendships and relationships on the road. People would be upset with me for things that I'd said and done that I didn't remember. And that started to really scare me. I decided to get sober for the first time and ended up having a suicide attempt in the process of that. I had no choice, really, but to fall completely headfirst into my creator. The God that I pray to now is completely unlike the one that I grew up with. Doesn't hold any of my past things over my head. Is happy to see me flourishing and loves me. I have to make sure that I remember why I'm still alive and the gift that I've been given, the second chance. It really is a second chance at life.
Thank you.
God's grace. Treasure in jars of clay. We're so glad you guys are here today. And if we've never met before, my name is DK. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And my hope for you today is two things. One is I hope you leave today with a renewed sense of hope and that you would leave knowing something real, and it's the love of Jesus. And the second thing is I hope you leave with some friends, some new friends. And, you know, it's a big priority for us. In a church like this size, it can be overwhelming sometimes. But for me, what's made all the difference in the world are my friendships, the people that I have met. And so we devote 60 seconds of friendship every weekend. So would you guys turn to the people next to you, find out who you're sitting next to, make some new friends. Don't be shy. Be courageous.
Mariners Church, how are you today? Hope that you're having a great Easter weekend. My name is Joe Hayes, and I'm the experienced pastor here. And we're so thrilled that you're a part of our online audience for our Easter services. Maybe you're checking our church out, you might be traveling or viewing from home today. It's my hope that you're a part of a thriving church community, and I want to do everything I can to help you get connected to the life that's happening here at Mariners. If you have any questions about our church, if you'd like to be involved in some ministries, or perhaps find a serving opportunity, you can email me directly at onlinepastor@marinerschurch.org, and I'll do all that I can to help you get connected here. After Easter, we'll be launching a new series called Church Detox, an honest look at God and faith. Great series to invite your friends to, and we hope to see you here. Have a great Easter.
Ahoy there. Welcome to Mariners, and happy Easter. My name's Jared. I'm the senior construction pastor.
Assistant.
I'm on my way down to the new community center. Got to meet up with my crew. We're going to put a little elbow grease in the old brick and mortar. Come on, let's take the scenic route. Hey, if this is your first time here, come on out to the Welcome Center. Great place to get connected. Free high fives and cups of coffee. Me, I'm a half-fat, skinny vanilla latte kind of a guy with a little touch of nutmeg. We're all about community, growing in our faith, and serving one another in love. We believe the best way to do that is through a 10-week discipleship journey called Rooted. You're looking for your next step? Find it out on the patio. Or maybe that guy. Shaka Bra Tim, how's the sir?
It's a lake!
We finally made it down to the side of the community center. We've been saying we want to build a big front door to the community. Well, how about that for a front door? While it might look empty now, soon enough, this place is going to be filled with ESL classes, an after-school program, a resource center, and any other ministry God puts on your heart to serve our community in love. Well, the boss has got a little bit of sweeping left for me to do, so I'm going to go find my squad. I bet they're about done with snack time now. All right, I just found my crew. Here they are. We got Jim and Bob, and there's Jim Bob. We got to get back to looking adorable, so happy Easter!
Well, happy Easter again. I am thrilled that you guys have chosen to come and be with us. Hopefully, you are getting a sense of a couple things. The first one is we take Jesus really seriously, but not ourselves, which is why we're willing to laugh at ourselves but also celebrate all that God's doing, and I'm thrilled that you guys are a part of it.
Yeah, we are so glad you're here. And if it's your first time, we want to welcome you, and we would love to meet you. If you haven't been connected, or maybe you haven't been back in a while, there's a welcome center outside of these doors, and we would love to connect with you. And Kyle and I will be out there after the service. We'd love to just meet you and hear more about your story and how we can help you get you connected here.
Yeah, a couple things. You guys got a bulletin like this on your way, and there's a couple big pathways for connection. One of them I do not want you to miss is what Jared mentioned in the video, and that's Rooted. It's our 10-week journey, and you will get to not only wrestle with some of the big questions that lots of us have as we go through life about good and evil and who is God and where is God and what's the purpose of the church, but you'll meet some great people because we believe that God designed us to live in relationship. The whole point of Easter is that God showed up. It's his presence in our lives that matters, and he gives each one of us as a gift to each other. So you'll meet some great people, so you don't go through life alone. And then finally, you'll get to rediscover your purpose. God will help you unpack your dream and what it looks like to live that out in the world. So jump into Rooted. It starts in the next couple weeks right after Easter.
And every week as part of our worship, we give. And despite what your notions around giving to church might be, I want to let you know giving is really two things. It's a beautiful act of surrender, and it's a radical act of rebellion. When we give a portion back to God of what he's given to us. And in doing so, we get to say thank you. We get to acknowledge that all good gifts come from him. And we get to rebel against the message that this world gives, that consumption and greed lead to joy. We know that real joy comes from giving. And aside from that, we get to rebel against the evil in this world in a really radical way. Mariners, this is just one expression of Mariners. We're part of a network of churches around Orange County and the world. That's right. And we have incredible global partners that are doing beautiful things. Just this last week, we brought teams home visiting our partners in Germany, India, Egypt, and received a message from our partner on the ground in Syria. And while the headlines might be telling you stories of evil and destruction and war and death. Those are true. But we're hearing stories back of God at work and alive in the midst of that suffering.
That's right.
And that's part of what we get to be a part of when we give. We get to be a part of God's work in the kingdom and in the world.
Yep. I love that. I love the invitation to be a part of that, God's kingdom. I want to invite you also to come back. We're here every single weekend, and next week we launch a new series. It's on the back of this bulletin you got called Church Detox. One of our and my good friends, Doug Fields, is speaking next week, who is fantastic. Some of you are like, Doug who? But just by the applause, you know it's going to be a great weekend as we launch that new series together. So I want to invite you guys to come back and be a part of that with us. And you're excited about the series.
I'm really excited about this series because it really speaks to my story. About 12 years ago, I really was in need of a church detox. And sadly, I wasn't a part of a church that was going to go through a series to teach me how. And so that led me to walk away from the church. And I am so grateful that in that I didn't walk away from God, that God led me back to a deep, stronger love for his church. But I actually have many friends who don't share that same story. They walked away. They tried to rid themselves of some of those beliefs that were keeping them from true relationship with God. And in the midst, they walked away from their faith altogether. And my guess is that that might be your story, or that you know somebody whose story that is. And this will be a great series to invite them to. And we can together explore those questions, those beliefs that we've kind of adopted along the way that are really keeping us from both the faith in the true God and also being the true expression of his people in the world.
That's right. That's right. Happy Easter, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Well, welcome. I loved the first part of the service. In fact, I got emotional a bunch of times during it. And so I'm glad that you're here and you're in the right place, because if there's one time you want to show up at church, if you're ever going to show up at church, this is it. Easter is the weekend. So you came at the right time to celebrate that Jesus died and then rose and conquered death. And so I know that you're here for lots of different reasons. Some of you come because of family traditions. And so you're here for that. Others of you were bribed, which we love that. And others of you because, you know, she invited you and she's so pretty. And so you, and some of it just because Easter changed your life and you'd have to be here because you just couldn't be anywhere else. But I know that there's some of you that church has been painful. You went to a church that you felt judged you, or they talked about a God that didn't have any interest in you, or just had a long list of rules that you just couldn't obey, and for whatever reason, you just felt like church wasn't a place for you. So to come back, welcome. We are so glad that you're here. And I figured that Easter is kind of my one shot. You're here, and it's like, okay, I get this one shot with you, right? And I got to convince you that Easter really matters to you, and it is important, and that you should consider Jesus's claims. And so I'd like to, for you, just to imagine that it's just you and me here tonight, all right? And it'd be like if we were just sitting in a coffee shop and you walked up to me and said, hey, you're a pastor guy, I saw you. So tell me, why is Easter such a big deal? Really, I mean, if that's the whole thing, why is Easter? And so I'm gonna talk to you and tell you just like what I'd tell you if we were sitting down over a cup of coffee, and this is what I would say to you. I would first say, you know, this world, it's a broken place, and it wouldn't be hard for you to be convinced of that, because you just read the newspaper this last week, you see the leaders in Syria sarin gassing their own people. In Africa, they use children as as soldiers. And that makes it sad. What we saw out in San Bernardino, where children in elementary school, you know, they were shooting. And, you know, we could talk about the brokenness of the world, and it wouldn't take long for you to go, this world is a broken place, right? We know that. And then it might take a little bit more convincing, but I'd say it's not just the world that's broken, but you're broken and I'm broken. And we resist that, but we're not the people that we want to be. I'm not the person that I want to be. There's a lot of things that I'm ashamed of, and I wish that wasn't true in my life, and more selfish. You know, if somebody cuts us off on the freeway, we damn them to eternal destruction. It wouldn't take me long to help you realize that we're in a broken world, and, you know, and we're broken people. And so we long for a better world, don't we? We all do. And the reason we do is because when we were created to live in a perfect world, because that's the world that God created, and we lived in a loving relationship with Him and with each other and with creation. Creation was designed to take care of us and for us to take care of creation. But we didn't like it the way that God created it. In fact, we wanted life on our own terms. And because of our selfishness, we damaged everything. We damaged our relationship with God, with each other, and even with ourselves. We damaged our souls. We infected our souls with a spiritual disease that is called sin that absolutely destroys us. And it just wasn't an action or a choice. It became our nature, and it became the very direction of our life. And so the corruption and the hatred, the evil, sexism, racism, all of the ugliness and evil in the world, ultimately it was created by us and through us. And as a result, we tried to ignore God, live away from God, and so there is the evil in the world. And if I was talking to you over a cup of coffee, the one thing I would say right now is this. This is one of the most important things that I'm going to say to you. But God loved us too much to leave us that way. He saw the brokenness. He understood that, but He didn't leave us in the world that way. In fact, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. God came into this world 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus, and here's why. It says in 1 Peter that Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners. That's the story of Easter, to bring you safely home. Why did Jesus come? There's right there, see, to bring you safely home to God. He suffered a physical death, but He was raised to life. You see, Easter is how God fixed a broken world and how He fixed us. You see, what He knew is that the only way to heal us is to take the spiritual disease of sin that was killing us and to take it upon Himself. And so He died the death that we were already dying. He went to the cross, and if you're here, Good Friday was beautiful, where you just saw, that's what Jesus did. He died on the cross. He died carrying the weight of our sin so that we could be free and we could be forgiven. And so that's why it's called Good Friday, and it wasn't an accident. That is why Jesus came. And He used the broken things of this world to actually bring healing. He used death. He died to destroy the power of death. He used cruelty and injustice and hatred to bring love and forgiveness to the world. He lost His relationship with His Heavenly Father so we would never have to live estranged from our Heavenly Father. He was betrayed and abused. He was alienated and alone so that we never would have to live alone. And you say, but how can I be sure? I mean, that sounds really great, but how can I be sure? Well, that's Easter. That's the whole point of Easter. That's what we tell you. I mean, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians. I passed on to you what is most important. So here it is. If you want to know the whole Bible summed up in three sentences, Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He was raised from the dead on the third day. That's the most simple Christian declaration. That's what we believe. Jesus died, He was buried, and He raised on the third day. And then the next words that He said, I want you to read them with me. He was seen, right there. Just read those one more time. He was seen. We were in a coffee shop. That's what I talked to you about right there. He goes, that's what Easter's all about. He was seen. And then that lists about 800 people in this sentence, but over 1,000 saw him. It says he was seen by Peter, then the 12, and then there's others in the ellipsis, and then more than 500 at one time. And then he was seen by James, which is kind of comical. We'll come back to that. But the point is that how can you be sure? And it's this, is that people, you know, they saw Jesus die on the cross, and it was brutal what they saw. And then they saw that he was buried, and then they experienced what they never believed was possible. They saw Jesus conquer death. And they did just what you and I do when they see something they've never seen before. They went on social media, the social media of their day. They talked to each other and they said, we've seen Jesus, he's risen from the dead. And they wrote about it. Matthew wrote about it, Mark wrote about it, Luke, John, Peter, James. They wrote about it. And the reason that this writer identifies James is James was the younger half-brother of Jesus. Mary and Joseph went on to have biological children of their own, and James was the younger brother. And so, you know, it's like, and James, and the reason James is so there, because James never believed that Jesus was God, the Savior of the world. Because, I mean, it's kind of obvious. What would it take for you to believe that your older brother was God? You say, let him teach all he wants, let him walk on water every day. I don't care. He's not God. But when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, they were like, that's it. And he was convinced. And so if we were sitting down for coffee, basically I would just say, you need to consider, I talked to you about the eyewitness accounts. Because this is what it really means. This is what Easter comes down to. The whole concept of why Easter is such a big deal is that none of the followers, you know, basically all of the people, remember when Jesus died and he was crucified, everyone who believed in him unfollowed Jesus. I mean, they just said, that's it. I'm done. You know, none of them were at his trial. None were at his crucifixion. None were at his tomb. None of them believed. They loved Jesus. They thought he was a great teacher. But the problem was, is what Jesus claimed. He didn't claim to be a good teacher. He didn't claim to be a good man. He claimed to be the exclusive Savior of the world, God in the flesh who came to save people. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he's the life, he can't be crucified, you know, in an unfair trial and then, you know, killed. You can't do that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you're the resurrection and the life, you can't be killed. And he said he was God. What's the one thing we all know God can't do? He can't die. That's the rules. God can't die. And he died. And so they go, you know, it's all over. And so there were no Christians after the crucifixion. They were all gone. I mean, they were running for their lives. They were over. They were done with it. There was no message worth repeating. Even though Jesus had said over and over again when he was alive, I am going to go to the cross, die for the sins of the world, and on the third day, I'm going to come back. But nobody was standing at the grave, you know, going 10, 9. They're saying no one was there because they saw him die on the cross, and it was over. That death was brutal, and death is final. And when Jesus died, all their hopes and dreams died with him. May I give you just one example? Mary Magdalene, it says early on Sunday morning while it was still dark. Mary Magdalene, remember she was a follower of Jesus. She was healed by Jesus and then became a follower. Came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And it goes on and says it was empty. And so she comes there. She woke up early. She expected the tomb to be there and it to be sealed. It rolled away. Then it was empty. And immediately she thought that somebody stole the body and just to desecrate the body. And so she broke into tears. Two angels were there. And the angels said, they asked and they said, woman, why are you crying? And I'd say to you in the coffee shop, I go, you know, there's this big theological debate as to whether or not angels are men or women. And it's pretty obvious that they're men because only a man would say, why are you crying? Okay, that's just funny, right? But they'd say, why are you looking for Jesus among the living? He's not here. He is risen. Now, here's the funny part, really, in the story. Then Jesus stands right behind her, and because she thinks there's no way he's risen from the dead, she thinks he's the gardener. You imagine telling that story for the next 20 years? I know. Jesus right there, and I think he's the gardener. Because who comes back from the dead? She never believed because no one expected it. They, you know, and so even when they saw Jesus, they thought he was a ghost, they thought it was his imagination, and so he appeared to them over and over and over again. You know how long and how many times? It was over 6 weeks, and he appeared to them one-on-one. He walked with them, talked with them, he ate with them, he hugged them, you know, with large groups, small groups, for 6 weeks. And you know why? Because that's how long it took to convince them. Because is crazy it was, they were all eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. And it was inconvenient and unbelievable, and it was absolutely impossible and inexplainable, but to them it was absolutely undeniable because thousands of people saw the resurrected Jesus. And they expected, I mean, it changed their life. And they expected that it would change other people's lives too. And so they went out into the streets of Jerusalem, and this was after they were afraid and frightened and terrified, and they just had one message. And this was the message of the church that exploded the church out of Israel into the world. And so today there's 2 billion people around the world that are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And here was their message. Jesus, who was the author of life, you killed him right over there. Not a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, right there, just last, you know, a few weeks ago. And right over there, you buried him, and there's a tomb, and it's empty, and he's risen because we have seen him. I know, it's impossible. It seemed impossible to us. It seemed incredible. We couldn't believe it, and it's unexplainable, but it's absolutely undeniable. We saw him. We saw them, and they expected it to change people's lives, and it did. And the message of Christianity exploded out of the Middle East, and today it changes everything about our world. It's 2017, because that's how many years since Jesus' death, and all time before him is measured before Christ, because it changed everything. And I want to tell you, if I was talking to you over a cup of coffee, I'd say, that's the proof of Easter. But I want to tell you why you want to believe in Easter. Do you want to why? You know why you want to believe in Easter? Because it makes your life better, and it makes you better at life. That's why you want to believe in Easter. So it makes your life better. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could be included in his life, a resurrection life. Read it with me. A far better life than people ever lived on their own. And it just goes on and says we get a fresh start. He says he came so that we could have a better life. How do we have a better life? First thing, he's restored our relationship with our Heavenly Father. How did he do that? He did it by forgiving us, making us right with God. Look at what it says in Colossians. You were dead because of your sin. See, that's what happened to our soul. It was a fatal disease, sin. And we are dead, lost, without any hope. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us. Every one of us has a spiritual rap sheet, spiritual misdemeanors and felonies. And he took those charges against us, and he took it in away by nailing it to the cross. All of us. We've broken God's standards. We are not the people that we want to be. We have a spiritual rap sheet. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And basically, you can take it, and Jesus would say, whatever you do not want to go into eternity holding your spiritual rap sheet. I can make, you know what makes for a better life? Give it to Jesus, and he nails it to the cross, and there's forgiveness. And you think, oh, but I'm clever, I smile, you know, my family. You know, I go to Texas every year. My wife's got a house on the Guadalupe River in the middle of nowhere. And literally, it's just like this place where the river gets wide, and the game warden comes once a summer to the lake. And I had to go ask a neighbor something, so I jumped on a jet ski without a life jacket, and I was shooting across, and he shows up that one day and gives me a ticket for driving a jet ski without a life jacket. So you have to call the judge, because he lives like four counties away. And so I call up the judge, and he says, I see you're from California. What are you doing out in Texas? And, well, my wife grew up in Texas. Your wife, well, where's her family? And my, you know, tell the family name. She goes, is she related to? And her grandmother had taught this judge the Bible in Sunday school. So I'm thinking, He's like, I'm out of this one, right? And so I play the card, and I don't often do it, but I'm thinking I'm good, and I want to get out of this ticket. So I said, and he goes, and, you know, I just drop in. And by the way, you know, I'm a pastor, you know, poor pastor, you know, little church, not a lot of money. And he talks, and we're laughing. He's just the nicest judge. And he goes, well, he laughs at the end. He goes, you know, being related to Gladys Nelson, who taught me Sunday school, you know, just because she's family, and you being a pastor does not mitigate the charges against you for driving it. That'll be $250. See, the biggest mistake you could make is thinking, I'm clever, I'm quick, I'm good. And all the charges, those spiritual misdemeanors and felonies that you've committed, you do not want to go into eternity holding those on. And so it says, he died for your sins, and he took that spiritual rap sheet and he nailed it to the cross to make your life better. Your life's better because Jesus pays, so you and I don't have to. And then not only that, and that's why the cross becomes a logo for Christianity, because it's the, you know, paid in full mark for every Christian. And then it says God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ. All of us are born spiritual orphans, but we are adopted because God loved us so much. Jesus came and he died for us. And when we believe in him, he doesn't just forgive us. He makes our life better. He adopts us into his very own family. That's why you want to believe in Easter. It makes your life better. And more than that, it makes you better at life. Do you know what makes you better at life? It gives you power that you would never have to do the things that you want to do. I mean, the truth is that all of us, oh wait, one more thing on life better. What a talk about hope. We have hope. And what it does is it gives us a life-changing hope. You know, hope is a concept that when you think of hope, it's pretty weak. Because the way we use hope is when all else is lost, then you go to hope, right? But the biblical concept of hope is way more powerful. Biblical concept of hope is a life-changing certainty that something is coming when you don't have it now. That's what hope is. It's a certainty of something that you don't have now. So the way to illustrate it is this. This is what you have. This is what Easter is all about, to make your life better, to have hope. Is, imagine there's two people and they have the same job, and the job is tedious and boring, and it's 80 hours a week, and there's no vacation for a year. And to one person, they're promised at the end of the year they'll be paid $15,000, and the other person is promised that they would be paid $15 million at the end of the year. Well, you can imagine, the first person, it's painful, it's drudgery. I mean, this is just hard. It's backbreaking, it's tedious, boring, and they won't make it a few months. They'll quit. But the person who's been promised the $15 million, they're happy, they're excited. It's the same job, but they're whistling why they work. Why? Both have the same experience every day. But both experience the present absolutely differently because of what they believe about the future. And that's what Easter is. It changes your view of your future. I mean, it says, look at what it says in John, don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus said, you trust in God, trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can always be with me where I am. You know, the hope that we have when you believe in Easter, why you want to believe in Easter, is death will not be the final word spoken over you. You have a home in heaven, a home with a loving Father that's designed for you, with you in mind. And when you see the resurrected Jesus, what you're looking at is your future. What does it tell you about your future in the resurrection? Well, first of all, you have your same personality, and you are recognizable. And you, I mean, you're the same person because he eats with them, he talks with them, he laughs with them. You know, he's not a disembodied spirit that's hovering 6 feet off the ground. I mean, he's real. And the value in that is that he's an example of our future bodies. Our future life is going to be beautiful and wonderful, far better than you can ever imagine. It's like this. Imagine that you have a friend and your best friend's at 12 years old, and you don't see them again for 18 years. And so then you see them. They walk up to you, and now they're 30 years old. You haven't seen them for 18 years. And they go, hey, and they tell you their name. They remember me, and you have a full-grown man, a full-grown woman in front of you. At first, you don't recognize them, and then they tell you their name, and you go, yeah. And you realize everything that they were, they still are, and more. But it's even greater than that. It's like the difference between an acorn and a giant oak tree. I mean, when we are resurrected today, we have 5 senses, but when we're resurrected, we'll have 100 senses or 1,000 senses that we will experience life from. Maybe it'll be more than you can imagine, because that's the future. So everything that's been taken from us will be given back to us. Everything that sin took, everything that we were never given in this life, God will give back. And there'll be love, and there'll be no more hatred or war or pain or sorrow or sadness. There'll be no more separation, no more loss. Our song will be restored, and we will be everything that we long to be. We have hope, and so it changes everything that we do today. That's why you want to believe in the resurrection. It's a better life. And then it makes you better at life. You know how it makes you better at life? It gives you power for your everyday life. Look at what it says. It stands to reason that God who raised Jesus from the dead, okay, he has that kind of power, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus. Is that amazing? I mean, think about that. That the power that Jesus had to resurrect you from the dead, I mean, to resurrect Jesus from the dead, he has the power to bring dead and dying things back to life. So we get overwhelmed. We have dreams. There's things that we want to do, and we despair because we think, I can never be happy again. Nothing good can come from this. This pain is absolutely just going to destroy me. But because when you believe in Jesus, you have that kind of power, God's power in your life, it says that you can believe that you can be happy again. That God can take the most severe moments of our life and he can work and bring about good. It doesn't mean that bad becomes good, but he can work to bring about good. There can be purpose in the pain in life. Paul wrote, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And so, you know, we all face difficult moments where we just don't have it. You know, we're in our career or in a relationship or just the stuff of life, and we try to power up or pretend our way through, and we say, "I just can't." And the good news is, you can't. But God can, and he'll give you his mighty power to help sustain you and give you the wisdom that you need and the strength. That's what it means. You'll be better at life. In the difficult moments when you can't harness your anger or your anxiety or your fear and you go, I just can't. Of course you can't. But God can, and he will, and he'll give you the strength to go through it and to handle it. You know, things aren't good at home. It seems like, you know, the person that you're living with, there's 3 versions of him or her. And you never know which one's going to show up. And you think, I just can't. And you can't. But God is able to bring dead and dying things back to life. That's the message of Easter. Maybe you went and saw a doctor and they said, there's nothing we can do. And we can monitor it, but we can't cure it. You can't. They can't. But God can. God can bring dead and dying things back to life. He makes us better at life because he gives us this resurrection power in our life to bring dead and dying things back to life. We can be happy again. God can work in the most difficult moments and bring about beauty and love and grace. He can bring purpose in the pain. He gives us truth to live by. That's how we can be better at life. And this is one of the things that I'd say to you at Over Coffee. I go, you really need to understand this. Because for most of us, we read our Bible wrong, but you're so afraid of the Bible because you think it's a book to just tell you a bunch of things that you need to do, and if you don't do it, God's just shaking his finger. But that isn't what the Bible is, because the Bible's not all about you. I know, crazy. Here's what you need to know. The Bible isn't about you, it's about Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is truth that brings freedom, and it is only found in Jesus. It's never been about what you do. It's always been about what Jesus has done for you. And then he gives you the power to live in community. It says, look at how very much his Father loves us, for he calls us his own children. You know, he makes us better at community. He gives us the power, gives us these gifts to heal and to love and to encourage and to build into each other so that we can restore community to the world. And then he gives us purpose for life. Look at what it says. You're God's masterpiece. You're created anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. You have purpose. So If it was just the two of us sitting in a coffee shop over a cup of coffee, I'd just conclude by saying this one thing. I go, here's the one thing that I want you to remember. Here's this one thing. Is that Easter answers unequivocally the question of who Jesus is. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And he came to be your personal Savior, to give you a better life and to make you better at life. And he proved it because he rose from the dead and people saw him time and time again. And I'd look at you over the cup of coffee and I'd say, so what do you believe? And I'll tell you what I did when I believed it. I cried out to Jesus and I said, Jesus, I want you to forgive me. I don't want you just to be the Savior of the world. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to forgive me. I want you to love me. I want you to change my heart. Christians, they use this word prayer, but it's just talking to God. And so I just talked to God, and it changed my life. That's what I did. So what are you going to do with Easter? Pray with me. Father, we are so amazed at the message of Easter. That you would love us to give us a better life. You wouldn't abandon us. You wouldn't leave us alone. That you cared so much for us. God, we are overwhelmed. Would you grip every heart here with the truth of your love and grace that is absolutely life-changing, and the truth that it happened because of the eyewitness account. So many people, as unbelievable as it is, it is absolutely undeniable, and we are grateful, and we praise your name. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
See you, church. See you, praise. in rows of white, in the blazing sun, shall pierce tonight, and I will rise amongst the saints, my cage transfixed on Jesus' face. Anybody glad about the hope that we have in Jesus? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Anybody glad about the hope that we have in Jesus? I'm so glad that we don't serve a dead God, but he is alive, and he's risen indeed. He's the God of the universe. He's alive in your situation. He's alive in your families. He's alive in your sickness. He's alive in your brokenness. We serve a God that is not dead, but he rose on the third day with all power, and he called himself the King of Kings, and he called himself the Lord of Lords. Jesus, great I am, Emmanuel, Son of God, Holy One, Mighty, Saving, Delivering, Redeeming, God, Almighty, Omega, Beginning and End. We serve a God that is worthy to be praised, church. And I wonder if you can help me sing this chorus out, celebrating our King of Kings. Let's sing it out. Sing it out.
This is amazing grace.
Come on, if you love him, clap those hands.
This is amazing grace.
That's why Easter's such a big deal, right? Aren't you glad you came to church to celebrate Easter? Yeah, you got a friend that doesn't, you know, hasn't been to church. You make sure that they get here tomorrow, especially at that 1 o'clock. You know, you get them there, that there's room there, okay? So, you know. Next week, Doug Fields is going to be here. You love Doug Fields. As we begin that new series, hold out your hands, receive God's blessing. Father, look at your children. They love you. You love them. Would you bless them and keep them? Would you cause your face to shine upon them? Would you be gracious to them? And would you lift up the light of your countenance? Would you turn your attention towards them? And as they cry out to you, would you embrace them and answer and give them your mighty power? And God, give them peace. We ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in God's grace. You have a great day.